At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Describe the ruckus, sir.
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Out of 3 here on a Tuesday on Danny and Dusty, whether you're watching, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080andthefan or twitch.tv/1080andthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. It was wonderful. Old Tuesday. The world of college sports, particularly college football, because that's the driving force, is not done being upended. As Rosh Dellinger, who is, he's become the guy for where this stuff is going. He's got this pretty much on lock and on tap. What the new guidance and what new administration or power broker group is going to take hold of college sports, particularly college football, and have the authority and teeth necessary to put a box around this stuff? And that is from his article, the College Sports Commission. And this is coming about because it always comes back to Tennessee. This is now like the third case law that has come out of Tennessee. On May 1st, Tennessee Senate Bill number 536 detailed that for these state schools, the University of Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Memphis, and their affiliated collectives, it will allow them to break house settlement-related rules that prevents college sports' new enforcement entity from penalizing those schools. Basically, they're saying, neener, 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 it's our state law, you can't do anything, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I hope Tennessee and Vanderbilt like not being a part of the SEC then, because this is what the College Sports Commission is doing, is, and this is what the biggest problem with the NCAA is that the NCAA is a bunch of university presidents from Division III all the way up to Division I, where everybody has a say on enforcement and guidelines and rules, and some are on a different planet than the others are. Mm-hmm. And so that's where you see some heavy-handed punishments coming down for one school and not the others, because the enforcement committee will also change over. And so there's ones that'll drop the hammer, there's ones that will not. It's a case-by-case basis. There's no real set guidelines because, one, the NCAA is afraid of getting sued and losing. What the College Sports Commission is going to do is, it's not even fully formed yet.
No.
It just has rough drafts that are out there. And what's going to happen is they want the house settlement to be finalized in California, and that's going to happen soon. Once that is finalized, then the College Sports Committee is saying, all right, the haves, we are going to separate you from the have-nots, and you guys are going to agree to abide by these rules, where if you violate these rules, there will be penalties. There will be financial penalties. There will be penalties and sanctions against your university, against your coaches, against the players. And if you agree to be part of the College Sports Commission, then guess what? You will play by our set of rules. And if you don't want to play by them, bye. Yeah. You're gone. And we won't play you anymore. And everybody is agreeing by the same set of rules that don't exist right now in the NCAA.
And what the state of Tennessee is doing, backed by those universities, you're going to see this in multiple states because they're going to want to set the bar. That, again, you want to talk about like the idea of like how much enforcement, because you talk about the university presidents and the different people that come through in the rules and infractions committees. Mark Emmert, you're the devil, go to hell. They don't want to deal with that. And so if you set this bar at a certain point, yes, you have to opt in and disregard all that, but you're basically saying, nah, dog, we're not going to be, because Tennessee's not going to be the only state that does this. You're going to see Georgia do this. You're going to see Michigan do this. You're going to see this come up at multiple state legislatures. And what they're trying to do is put a framework around this so they don't end up with the NCAA again.
Well, what Tennessee is doing is saying, we don't want to have the rules.
They aren't going to have that.
Then you won't play.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the whole thing, is that if you want to play by this separate set of rules, then you just won't get scheduled. And here's the deal, is that the conference commissioners, the athletic directors, they're all on board with this because they know there has to be guardrails. It cannot continue the way that it is right now. And if it does continue down this road, like, the support of college athletics will start to wane, and it will cripple the sport, and you won't have the fervor for college sports anymore. And you can say all you want, well, yeah, go tell the South that. They're the ones making these laws. When Tennessee can't play Alabama or Georgia or Florida anymore, that's where it gets to the point where they're like, oh, damn. And the reality of it is, government officials in Tennessee may not want to play by those rules. Their fan bases will. Those schools will, because they don't want to be left on the outside looking in, because there's not enough of these universities that are viewing it the same way that Senate Bill 535 or whatever is.
I think it's more of a leverage play than anything else. You set the bar so high, so you're like, oh, you know, you want us to be a part of this, because they're going to want Tennessee to be a part of this. You're going to want the Michigans and the Ohio States. And we talked about this yesterday, and I when I saw this article, I started thinking if this actually kind of tied to this. Did you see that USC and Notre Dame may not continue the rivalry?
Yeah.
And I think that that actually does play a part of this, because I think what USC is trying to do is leave everything as open-ended as possible and not get into any contract. And I'm not saying that to excuse this, because I think they absolutely should continue to play. Look, I am a traditionalist in the sense, like, I want to see college football continue to grow and go into this 40-team super conference, which is not traditional. But I don't want to see Oregon and Oregon State not play. I don't want to see USC and Notre Dame not play. I don't want to see those things go away. Those things need to stay a part of this. They absolutely do. But I think you're seeing a lot of the bigger schools in the bigger conferences that are using these leverage plays, like Tennessee, like USC, that you're seeing these going, we want to be able to have the table be as open as possible, but we want to limit.
What would the leverage be for USC in this?
I think they just want to have all of their scheduling opening for everything, depending on how things go as far as the college commission.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whereas Notre Dame, because they only have the loose ACC affiliation, they're not going to have the same juice as the Big Ten or the SEC.
Notre Dame will be fine.
Well, I know
they'll backfill it with MAC schools and still get in if they're
undefeated. I'm not worried about that, but I'm saying that's why they don't have the same conference footing as the Big Ten.
They
and
have
SEC.
Just as much leverage as anybody. Actually, they probably have more leverage than anybody else. Because
you think so?
Well, yeah, their athletic director is on the college football playoff committee.
Yeah, that's true.
He's
helpful.
And he's only looking out for one entity, and it's his school.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a lot like North Carolina when their AD recused himself from the NCAA tournament board.
They have a seat at the table for everything. Yeah. And that, I don't like it, but they have that. They have that juice.
This was not a like USC versus Notre Dame thing.
No.
This was like I was looking at it from USC's point of view of like why they would not want to have the long conference.
I hate the fact that we have non-conference games scheduled out, you know, decades in advance.
That's Clemson and Notre Dame signed a 12-year.
Well, that one I understand.
Because it's ACC.
Because what they wanted to do was, as part of that ACC agreement, is to say, well, I want to guarantee that we're playing somebody good every year from the ACC. If we're going to play anybody from the ACC, it better be somebody worth a damn. And don't give me Wake Forest and NC State.
Because they might beat
Boston College. Well, Boston College, they do play every year. Yeah. But don't give me the dregs of the ACC because you guys want to sell more tickets, because that's what the ACC is trying to do to Notre Dame now. It's like, well, Duke can't sell out a football game, but they can if Notre Dame comes.
And that's kind of the same thing we're seeing at the ACC in basketball with what they changed in their basketball schedule, having that two extra floating games now in their conference play of so that the North Carolinas and the Dukes of the world can prop up the other schools because of the TV revenue.
Yeah, I'm here for the College Sports Commission having guardrails. I think that the most important part is that it's only the power schools that do it, because even though the MAC, which I love, in Conference USA, in the American Conference, even though they're technically FBS programs, they're not. Yeah. They're not on the same playing field as the actual power conferences. They're committed to athletics. And, like, there's been studies done. A guy on Twitter, what's his name? He's, like, Big Ten something guy. He did, like, a full-on breakdown, like a case study of how much money winners and losers have in college football.
Do you want to get to that next?
Yeah,
that's exactly where I was going to go with this.
It's something.
Yeah, there's a lot there. The almighty dollar is pretty damn indicative as far as outperforming expectations and wins. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Tinny the Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Coming out last segment, we were alluding to the amount of money that goes into college football and how indicative it can truly be for the haves and the have-nots. If you've got the money, the data shows it turns into wins.
Yeah, a guy on little Twitter bots, their Big Ten information college football fan. He just puts out a lot of stuff that some of it is nonsensical, and he does say it's sourced. Other things he gets right and nails it. But he did something that you can look at and you can just go from start to finish. It's a ridiculously long post on Twitter. But basically, he went and tried to look for, all right, between 2022 and 2024, can you take and correlate the money spent on your football program and the number of wins that you had? And what he ended up finding, and you can go through and read all of it because it's very, very long. But as the gist of it is this. The more money you spend, the more wins you have. That is it. The average spending for a team with 9 or more wins in the Big Ten and Power Five is $64.8 million per year.
Mm-hmm.
The average spend for teams with less than 9 wins is $50 million. So that $15 million is a significant gap in success on the field.
And it's actually wider than that because you have a school like Nebraska that is throwing this off because they are up there with the Ohio States, Oregon's, Washington's, and Michigan's of the world spending $70+ million and not getting the wins to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these kind of case studies, these are, I know specifically, are done in the NBA. Your basically your cost per win and how those things level out when you're looking at rookie scale contracts, MLEs. Like this, these are the kind of things that agents and general managers discuss when they're talking about signing players to deals. And this is in the same kind of thing that you see in college football, where once you get a few years worth of data, which we saw the initial push in college football, we were hitting, you know, $6, $7, $8, $9 million for a quarterback. That threshold has come back down. Now, don't get me wrong, there are guys that are still getting bags that are, you know, outside those windows, as we just saw with the number one commit in the country ending up at Miami. Was it last week?
Yeah.
He got what, 3.5?
2.5.
2.5 for a tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, it's the number one recruit in the class. And typically those guys, $2.5, $3 million, pretty normal.
Yep.
But we also saw this with guys like Jaden Rashada hopping around for money. We saw, was it Bryce Underwood going to Michigan, getting a, was it $8 or $9 million mm-hmm. deal over multiple years? Like, you have to establish basically a generation of wins per dollar. And that's over a program, that's what this looks like. And you have to, whether you're talking salary cap or not, you have to have a general understanding of what that is, because otherwise your margin of error is this giant scope. This shows you that even without the rails on it, it's already kind of establishing itself. This is what we were talking about when we've kind of gone through this, and I've said, it just feels like when we were talking about Nico going to UCLA, this feels like this is the market just doing what the market does. It's not going to keep going and going and going and going. Schools just aren't going to be dumb about this.
No, but it does raise the question of, is that something that the new College Sports Commission is going to bring up as part mm-hmm. of how they move forward is, all right, if promotion and relegation aren't going to be a thing, if you look at the world of college athletics and college sports being the success and you wanting to be a part of it, is there going to be a minimum spending on your football program that you have to meet? A threshold of, all right, you want a seat at the big boys table.
You're either in or you're not.
You are going to pony up, because there isn't an excuse anymore with the escalation of the TV rights that we're going to be seeing upwards of $100 million per school at these power conferences mm-hmm. for you to spend on your football program.
And this looks more like a salary floor than a salary ceiling.
Than a salary cap.
Yeah.
Now, the most committed programs are always going to blow by that.
Yes.
But here's the thing with college athletics, and one thing that they look at is, you can also look at investment in your facilities, as it doesn't go on the bottom line of, hey, this was a football expenditure.
No.
And he brings up in this that Washington State was not a big spender with Mike Leach, but what they did do was they improved their facilities across the board. Yeah. And if you have great coaching if you have within that great coaching staff has acquisition of talent and identification of diamonds in the rough, you can perform like the big boys do. See Mike Leach, Washington State with Gardner Minshew.
Or more recently, Jed Fish at Arizona. They spent a metric crap ton of money on the outside.
Kurt Cignetti at Indiana. They actually ponied up a lot more money towards their football program to improve all of the facilities in the years leading up to Cignetti. He comes in, they pop, not just because he's a great coach, but because they had the infrastructure already there, and then they spent more money on it. There is a correlation to this, and it's pretty clear when you look at it. Like, there's
except for Nebraska.
They even have a graph there where it's like wins and money spent. The more money you spend, the more games you win.
It's a pretty straight line.
And it's not a surprise to anybody.
No.
But I think what we need to start adjusting to is that these are going to be part of the, essentially, like, if you want to play the game, if you want to be part of the big boy crew, you've got to spend that money, and it's going to become more and more apparent that the teams that are going to be left on the outside looking in are the ones that do not want to or cannot spend that money.
And for a point of reference, Indiana pre-Cignetti was around $35 million.
Yeah.
So you can already see the very, very clear line of how different that looks. And now the data from last year obviously isn't available yet.
But the year prior, so 2023, they spent $61 million on upgrades across the board to their facilities, to the football program itself. And then they go and they pop this past year for 11 wins from 3 wins the year before with a brand new roster. They were crossing that line of the $62.3 million, which they say is that floor to be competitive.
And that's what's going to be interesting is like what schools can the Boise States and Arizona States and the Washington States and all these other schools that are really good at mining and finding these diamonds in the rough where you can get the cost-benefit analysis. And I know some people don't want to hear the analytics of this stuff, but like that's how the schools that are on the next rung down are going to have to do this.
Well, and look, if you have a school like Arizona State, or Illinois is a great example of this.
Yeah.
Because as part of this, they said that Illinois spends around like $30 to $35 million on their program. They win 8 games. Like, if they are forced to spend that money, the school is, and they're forced to say, all right, Brett Bielema, you finally get the keys to a Ferrari. What does that look like?
What does that look like? Because they're spending money on football and basketball. Like, I don't know if you've seen Illinois' recruiting class on the basketball side of things and what they've been able to do in the transfer portal and them extending their coach there as well. You're seeing, like, all of these schools are starting to build these not necessarily fences, but, like, they are building these structures to sustain and build up because they know what's coming.
Yep. So, it's going to be interesting. It'll be fun.
Well, what's coming up tonight is the Western Conference Finals Game 1 featuring the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it's a family feud. We'll get into that next. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Oh yeah, baby. Western Conference Finals get underway tonight. Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And as I alluded to, it is a family feud as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will take on Nickeil Alexander-Walker, his cousin. This is from Nickeil Alexander-Walker in Shoot Around. My mom texted Shai's dad saying, oh, it's war now.
I like this.
I do too. It's gonna be fun.
I think I know who's better.
Yeah, well, you know, it happens. They did play four times this season. Okay. Timberwolves were missing Rudy Gobert in two of the four games. So it's not a ton you can take from this, but the Timberwolves did look like they could handle Oklahoma City Thunder. Like that looked like it could be a thing, but there's a lot that you kind of have to squint at because it was a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And with Rudy Gobert out, Jalen Clark was getting some starts during that, rookie for the Timberwolves. And actually, among players who guarded SGA, I think it was like a minimum of 50 possessions, he was, I think, second or third best.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So again,
a little familiarity.
Yeah. There's that, but there's also you look at the Timberwolves. We talked about this in the opening hour. Styles make fights, and it got really interesting in the Oklahoma City Thunder series against the Denver Nuggets. Is as the series went on, the Thunder got smaller. They played Cason Wallace more. They played Wiggins more. They played Isaiah Joe more. They put Caruso. Yes, he guarded Jokic, but it was a two-man effort. It was Caruso and Chet. It was Caruso and Hartenstein. Like he fronted, and they overloaded the defense. They said, we'll live with somebody else on the backside, whether it's Julian Strother or Russell Westbrook, anybody else taking those shots. We're fine with that. I don't think you can necessarily do that against the Minnesota Timberwolves, because if you all of a sudden start switching and getting weird, somebody who's very big is going to have a very serious mismatch. Because we talked about this Thunder or this Timberwolves team. Ant Edwards is 6'5". Nas Reed is 6'9". Rudy's 7'2". Jaden McDaniels is 6'10". Julius Randle is 6'8", 6'9", and is a bull in a china shop. They are a big freaking team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good defensive team. They are also one of the most unpredictable and dumb teams in the entire NBA. When they are, of the four teams remaining, they're the most turnover prone. They will, like, as great as the Warriors dynasty was,
mm-hmm.
you could count on Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green to have a handful of the dumbest turnovers you've ever seen in basketball.
Yeah.
That was their Achilles heel. Remember the Steph Curry behind the back pass out of bounds multiple times?
Yes, I do.
It's just like for being one of the 10, 12 best players of all time, that is Steph's shortcoming. And you look at Ant Edwards, he gets loose with the ball. Julius Randle in his down years gets loose with the ball. Rudy Gobert can get loose with the ball. And like you look up and down this team, Mike Conley is the only guy I trust on that team to not to do the most brain-neutral, stupid thing you could ever think.
And that's it right there. Mm-hmm. That's why he's out there. He is the organizer. Yep. He's the guy that kind of holds everything together, makes sure that the dumb don't dumb too hard.
Yeah, you can't go full dumb. And that's it's going to be really interesting to see how many minutes he plays.
That's when, because you can't play him a lot.
No.
And
I think he's 38 now.
I will say, we talked about this earlier, the two guys that both of us brought up earlier may be the guys that become the factor, the X factor. I don't want to say the X factor, mm-hmm. a main factor for Minnesota's success. Rudy Gobert mm-hmm. is the guy that you said yep. this means a whole hell of a lot to him individually. And then I think Dante DiVincenzo also has that. If he can play within himself and be an organizer, which we've seen at times in long stretches from him, holding it together when Mike Conley's not on the floor is going to be the most important part.
The Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 7 against the Denver Nuggets, 37-7.
Yikes.
Points off turnovers.
37-7?
And that final score was 32.1. So you don't get that. You don't, again, but that's what the Thunder do. They turn you over more than anybody. They are lethal. Lethal in transition because they are smaller and faster and more athletic. That's what they do. They are not a great half-court team.
Mm-mm.
You know what Minnesota does? They put you in the half-court and they beat the hell out of you. What does Julius Randle do? Does Julius Randle want to run up and down the floor?
Mm-mm.
No, he wants to get in the mid-post, draw two, beat you up. What does Ant Edwards do? He wants to get downhill, beat you up. Like that's when you talk about styles making fights, Denver's style was Jokic is just better. Minnesota's style is we are physical, we are big, we are nasty. This is it. That's why Minnesota was such a foil for Denver over the last couple of years, is that their style was they could impose that. And I think that's going to be the deciding factor in this series is whose style is imposed on the other. Because if Minnesota turns this ball over, they're going to get smoked.
Well, but if they are able to keep it in the half court and bully, they are going to have a ton of success. Mm-hmm. Success. I don't know how many times I saw Chet Holmgren prior to Game 7 when Alex Caruso held his ground more,
mm-hmm.
get pushed. Chet would get pushed from the free throw line
all the way down.
The first row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was Jokic, and it wasn't Jokic like trying to back him down. If he gets bullied and the Thunder start getting bullied around, things unravel pretty damn quickly.
What's going to be really interesting is how Mark Daigneault deploys all of his guys because he plays 10, 12 guys. In a seven-game series, you don't want to just fire every cannon you've got. Does he hold some of the stuff back? Does he wait to kind of see game two, game three, game four? I've seen some people say, well, Caruso was so good and so important against that Denver series. Do you start him now? And you only go one big. And I'm like,
mm-mm.
You want to go one big when your Achilles heel in your growth has been your lack of size and physicality against one of the biggest teams in the league?
Yeah, no.
I don't think that's what you want to do. Look, if you're going to – that's something you can keep up your sleeve, game two, game three, game four, where you can pull that out. I don't think you want to go into the series and go, we're going to change what we are right out of the gate.
That's a beautiful game seven move, what he did.
Yeah.
Which is
– they leaned into it a little bit in game six, and they really got after it in game seven.
What are you going to do? Because mm-hmm. it worked in game six, and there's got to be the thought in the back of David Adelman's head and everybody else in Denver that there's no effing way they can do that.
Again,
for an entire game. Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Because they got so disruptive and they were able to generate those turnovers. That's the
I like that Caruso, it is so stupid on the surface,
mm-hmm.
but he's the perfect guy to do that with.
It's like,
and there's very few guys in the NBA.
It's like Drew Holiday. Like everybody's like, well, you should get one of those guys. I'm like, yeah, there's like four of them in the entire league.
And none of them are more unassuming than Alex Caruso.
No. And look, to kind of point this back to the Blazers a little bit, that's kind of what Toumani is. Remember, that's a guy who against Denver in a two-game set guarded Jamal Murray, didn't do anything, and then Jokic went off, and then switched on to Jokic the next game. Murray went for a 50 spot, and Jokic had a meh Jokic game. But having those guys, like that's why teams want those guys.
Yep.
That's why they're so important, because they are playoff risers. They are guys that can dictate and be disruptive. I am really, 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 really looking forward to this series. Number one, it's the new blood. We talked about this a little bit yesterday when Luke was in here. What's really interesting about the four teams in the conference finals, they're all guard dominant.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw this. You've got SGA, you've got Ant, you've got Brunson, you've got Hallie. The four most important players.
As we're talking about the pivot back to the big man.
Yeah.
But
the four most important players in the conference finals are all 6'5 or smaller.
And here's the thing about all of those guys, though. With the, they're all downhill get to the rim, mm-hmm. though. Like every single one of them.
Which is why bigs matter.
And this is why you're sitting there and you're looking at it like, think of Ant, who volume for three. I know it. Ant Edwards shoots a lot of threes. When he is at his best, he is getting to the hole. And he is a freight train, for God's sakes. And a lot of the times he's taking those threes are because they are taking every single...
Loading the paint.
Every precaution they can to make sure he's not getting to the rim. Brunson, get to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
SGA, creator, can do a lot of everything, but he is on your heels. Rim pressure, it is so damn fun to watch. Like, all of these guys, they have exactly what you're... Hallie, one of the best passers in the game, mm-hmm. and when he's getting downhill, you have no idea where the ball is going to be going. It's fun as hell to see.
It really is, and I think we're reaching this point where modern basketball is circling back to what we grew up with. So much about bigs and physicality and rim pressure.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
But it really is. It's taking the best from the eras now and putting it all together. And it's why I'm glad to see the Celtics out.
Harsh.
No, I mean, I am. I'm not saying that what they were doing wasn't good basketball, quote unquote, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Or I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Then I couldn't appreciate what they're doing, but it wasn't fun to watch. Drive and kick, drive and kick, drive and kick, drive. Look, it's more to it than that, but that's like when you boil it down, that's what it felt like all the time. And they just couldn't get out of that when it came push come to shove.
It is really fun to watch, though, when those shots fall. When those shots fall, it is glorious to watch.
It's not my brand of basketball. The brand of basketball that we have in the conference finals is exactly what I like to see. So, selfishly, I'm very invested in both these series. Because there's so many storylines, because not only are we getting this guard dominant group from this four, but it's a new era.
Yeah.
I think it was ESPN put this out earlier. From the Olympic team last year, only Hallie and Ant are left from Team USA.
Yeah. I'll be damned.
You got
Rudy Gobert playing, though, for Team France.
Oh, there's a few Olympians that are left, but like those are the two guys from Team USA that are left standing. Huh. And remember, Ant Edwards came into that Olympic camp saying it was his team.
His team, baby.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
and Hallie was the guy that got the A on the group project.
That's, well, and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, well, you know. But Hallie embraced it. Hallie embraced it. We do love that.
I love that.
All right, coming up next, we have a little bit of news in the sports media world as Inside the NBA is coming to a close on TNT. Kenny Smith is speaking up about a transition that he's maybe not too thrilled about. We'll get that next year on Danny Dusty, 10 of the Fan. Kenny Smith, one of the forefathers of Inside the NBA on TNT, spoke out about the crew moving over to ESPN. So for those that aren't aware... the intellectual property that is inside the NBA will indeed move over under the new TV deal to ESPN. And after saying that they weren't going to do it, they did ultimately end up going, all four of them, Kenny, Ernie, Shaq, Chuck. And through this process, Kenny Smith is now saying that he's kind of uncomfortable with the change. And I get where he's coming from. You and I have both worked for other places and other networks, and the things that kind of come along with that for vision and goals and everything that comes along with that. Kenny Smith said that we have the same crew of people doing the same show, but the timing, are we a half hour now? Are we 45 minutes? Are we 15 minutes? Those are things you can control when you own your IP, but we don't anymore. That was the only part that made me uncomfortable and disheartened, because I felt that the four of us should have went into ABC to negotiate that deal. I'm not saying that our executives don't know how to do that, but we're the IP now. And it does get interesting, because do you remember last year during the playoffs when ESPN/ABC would go to a halftime or quarter break and go to the desk for a minute and 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then go to 7 minutes of commercials and then go to a minute and 10 seconds of the desk.
You know what I... That won't happen with these guys, though, because ESPN knew the product that they were putting out there. It wasn't good enough to push out any of the ad space for. Mm-hmm. And if they think for a second that they're going to be able to tamp down and tell those guys how they're going to do their job when they've been doing it, all four of those guys are going to walk. And they will walk in an instant. Yeah. And they'll do it together, and they'll do it in the middle of a damn show. And they won't feel bad about it one stinking bit because none of those guys are hurting for money right now.
No, God, no.
And all of them will still work for TNT, and they'll find a way to put them on. They even floated the idea of doing an NBA show when they didn't even have games.
Standalone.
Just doing that inside the NBA for an hour every week and just saying, all right, guys, you guys just go and take over whatever they're trying to fill the air with, and they will do it, and people will watch it because it's the most entertaining sports television show on TV, period. Mm-hmm. Full stop. There's nothing that touches it. It really does not. They are informative. They are funny. They have great chemistry together. It is an incredible television show, and they will do it by them damn selves if ESPN gets in the way. I understand what Jet is trying to say, but I don't have that worry because as bad as it can be at times, there's a very large awareness of the product that ESPN has. And when they have that, you don't screw with that.
And that's going to be the interesting thing because, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles. Now, Ernie's not going to say anything because he's the ultimate pros pro in media.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything.
But Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq have all expressed uneasiness. Because if you're not dumb and you know people across the networks, those guys have talked to guys at ESPN, and we saw the golden era, the golden goose of ESPN, whether it was, Stu or SVP or DP or Eisen or Neil Everett, and the way those guys were all forced out and sunsetted because of their personality became what drove ESPN, and ESPN didn't like that.
Well, that also is on a daily show. This is not. And what these guys are all doing is putting out these signals so everybody sees it beforehand.
Yes.
So if anything Smartly. Changes, everybody's going to point to see.
It's this ESPN. This is not us. This is not. Because, again, it's the whole TNT crew. It's the same. It's not just the on-air.
It also gets ESPN to get off their back.
Yes.
That's the main part.
It's clearing the path. And here's the thing. These guys have been doing this for 20 years. They have the equity to do this.
Yep.
Not everybody can do this.
A lot of people try it, even though they don't have that equity.
It does not work.
Not one bit. Not one bit. We need to say goodbye to Norm.
We do.
One more time.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Mr. Peterson, what's the story?
Boy meets beer. Boy drinks beer. Boy gets another beer.
George Wendt passed away, age of 76 today. Norm Peterson from the great show Cheers, one of the super fans from the Bears off of SNL, passing away at 76 years old. And as we found out today, uncle of Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
Ted Lasso himself.
Crazy.
I don't see the family resemblance there.
No. I wonder what mom looks like.
I just don't see it. Yeah, Sudeikis' mom was George Wendt's sister.
Yeah.
So, RIP to one of the great character actors of our time, George Wendt.
It's a bummer, man. Yeah. These are one of those ones, like, we all are old enough that we grew up with that. So, it's one of the things that sucks about getting older, man.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Norm, how's the world been treating you?
Like a baby treats a diaper.
Phenomenal. The great George Wendt, passing away at 76 years old. All right, that does it for us. We got a Tuesday in the books.
Indeed.
We'll be back tomorrow, though.
We will.
Because that's a Wednesday.
Mm.
And we got 3-hour radio program.
And I'll have to check my watch. I think Wednesday's the day I check the watch the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So midweeky.
How long is that bit going to happen for you, think?
Life.
Forever?
Life.
All right.
Maybe if I have kids, it'll change. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. That's a big maybe. All right, that does it for us. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk, a Nemec in Souk edition.
Indeed.
Right here at The Fan. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Bye.
Afternoon, everybody. No!
How are you today, Mr. Peterson?
Never been better, Woody. In just once, I'd like to be better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.